Welcome to all those that are with us today. Last week we started chapter 240. If it's okay, I'd like to start again from the beginning and we'll go through the beginning a little bit more quickly and then continue. Rabbeinu Zal begins, Kol ha-hashpois v'chol ha-dvorim heim boim rak me-hatzadik o-emes. All bounty, all shefa, and everything comes only via the tzadik o-emes. We know that all shefa originates from Hashem, but when it comes down to this world, it goes through different channels. And it starts from a place called Keser, and then Chachma and Bina, and comes down all the way to the Midah of Yesoid. Yesoid means foundation. Yesoid also means the tzadik. There's a pasuk, v'tzadik yesoid olam. The tzadik is called the foundation of the world. And all Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus make it perfectly clear that all shefa that's flowing to the world, all bounty, health, wealth, sustenance of every type, Ruchnis and Gashmias, comes to the world via the Midah of Yesoid, via the Tzadik, and from there it's distributed to wherever it goes to. V'alkein, since we on earth are receiving everything from the Tzadik, therefore, Kishemekoyrov let Tzadik Oemes, when a person is close to the true Tzadik, Yuchal Lekabel Bekal Esma Shetzorech Loi, the person can easily receive what they need, Hein Ashirus, whether it's wealth, Oibonim, or children, Aval Kishehu Rochoik Mea Tzadik, whereas if a person is far away from the Tzadik, and this doesn't necessarily mean physical distance, that means the person doesn't have any connection or any desire to be connected to the tzaddik. Azai boloi bekoishi godol. Then, in order for that person to receive sustenance, it's very difficult. It comes very difficult. Ki kol echot mekabel ashiru seibonim lefi hamazel sheloi. Because each and every person in the world receives blessing. They receive wealth or children or whatever it is based on their mazal. V'hamazal mekabel ha-hashpo me-hatzadik. And the mazal receives from the tzadik. Ki mishom boim kol ha-hashpois. Because all shefa comes to the world via the tzadik. We know, for example, the Gemara Tanis, which speaks about fasts, it speaks about fasting when there's a lack of rain, especially in Eretz Yisrael. We know that when Hashem told the Jewish people that He's taking us out of Egypt and He's going to take us to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem made it perfectly clear that one of the issues in Eretz Yisrael is the fact that it's a country of mountains and valleys, and therefore, in order for fields to be able to be irrigated, it depends on rain. It depends very heavily on rain. And we know the Gemara mentions many stories throughout the history when there was a lack of rain and the Jews would turn to the tzaddik. They would go to the tzaddik, whether it was Chayni Amagol, whether it was Abba Binyamin, Abba Shol. The Gemara gives many stories. They would go to the tzaddik, and the tzaddik, through his prayers, would become the vessel. He would become the pipe through which Hashem would supply rain to the land of Eretz Yisrael, or any type of shefa. The story in the Torah about Hannah, the wife of Elkanah, who didn't have children for years, and she suffered terribly, and she prayed very hard for it, and at one point she was praying in the Beis HaMikdash, and Eli HaKohen saw her, and he saw her whispering silently. Said first he suspected that she's drunk. And she said, I'm not drunk, I'm drunk from pain and suffering of how desperately I want to have a child and I'm praying for it. And Eli HaKohen said to her, you will have a child. Because he was able to affirm that her prayer is accepted and that again, with his blessing, she'll be able to have a child. The Gemara makes a statement, Mi sheyesh lo choyle betoich beisoy, if a family has someone in the family that's ill, Yelech etzel chacham v'yevake shol avrachmim. They should go to a chacham, and the chacham should pray for them, and in that manner, the person can receive the refuah that they need. The Gemara says, "Hamispalel bad chaveroi v'hu tzorich loisei dovor hu nenetchila." That when Reuven is praying for Shimon, Reuven is praying for Shimon to have parnasa, and Reuven also needs parnasa. The Gemara says that Reuven will receive it first. And I once heard from my Rebbe Rav Rosenfels, he explained why is it. The answer is because Reuven was davening for Shimon, when Shimon is supposed to receive the blessing, he gets it via Reuven. Hashem sends the blessing first to Reuven, and from Reuven it gets passed on to Shimon. So Reuven's needs are automatically satisfied. Now again, if we're talking about tzaddikim, if we're talking about a really great tzaddik whose prayers can be much more effective than our prayers, than ordinary prayers, again, the ability to be able to affect a Yeshua, to be able to affect a salvation or bounty or ruchnius or gashmius on the part of people is much more effective. We mentioned last week that the word mazel that's being used here, the word mazel has many different translations in the Gemara and in the Zohar HaKadosh. Sometimes the word mazel is used to refer to the sphera of malchus, the midah of malchus of Hashem. The Tikkun HaZohar refers to that as malchus. In addition, sometimes it's referred to an angel, a guardian angel that each and every Jew has, that our bracha comes through via that guardian angel. But again, that mazel receives from the tzaddik. The Zohar HaKadosh says there's a pasuk, Meha'oichel Yotzo Ma'achol, that all ma'achal, all food and sustenance comes from Oichel, from the Oichel. And the Zohar HaKadosh says the tzaddik is called Oichel. There's a pasuk, Tzaddik Oichel L'soiva Nafshoi. The tzaddik eats to satisfy his soul. He doesn't eat because of physical desire, because of materialist desire. He eats in order to elevate the soul, to maintain his soul. So the pasuk Meha'oichel Yotzamachel means that all Shefa, Hashpah, comes via the Oichel, via the Tzaddik. V'alkein, and therefore, Keshehu Rochoik Me'at Tzaddik, when a person is distant from the Tzaddik, Azai Hamazel Tzorech Lases Loi Koyach Godol, then that person's mazel has to expend major effort kedei lachabel ha'ashpo me'atzadik in order to receive that flow from the tzaddik, machmashu rochik mimenu, because this person is distant from the tzaddik. And again, distant means that his heart is distant from the tzaddik. He has no connection. He doesn't feel connected in any way, and he's not interested in having a connection, chas v'shalom. V'alkein nimtze boze chilukim rabim. And therefore, there are many different variations of this. Lefomim, sometimes, magia la'odam ashirus, v'hu meis mizeh. There are times that a person receives wealth, but because it's coming through so much effort, through so much extraordinary effort, it can kill the person. V'nishar ho ashirus layorshim. And the person themselves doesn't get to enjoy the wealth at all, but rather their children, their descendants, receive it. Ulefamim humeis al yidei ze shemekabel ashirus. Sometimes, again, because there's so much extraordinary effort being exerted to be able to receive, because the person is so far removed from the tzaddik, that the person not only don't they get the wealth, it doesn't even extend to their children, but rather v'gam oivei desu ashirus. The wealth gets lost. The person doesn't get it, and it doesn't even get passed on to their children in any way. V'chein chilukim rabim. And there are many variations of this. And now Rabbeinu Zal is going to give us a parable to help us understand this better. This is actually where we left off last week. V'hu kemoi lemoshol kishe'echod roitze lahagbiya masa koved. This could be compared to a scenario where a person is trying to lift something that's very heavy. V'hu machnis kol koichoi lahagbiya hamasa, and the person is exerting every ounce of strength and energy that they have to lift up this heavy item. Machma shekved amoid, because it is so heavy. V'lefomim magbiya hamasa, sometimes the person succeeds in lifting up that heavy object. However, because they exerted so much energy to do this, nekru v'nitlashu meyo bekirboy, the person's insides get torn. They get a hernia from this, to the point where it could actually kill the person. Sometimes a person tries to lift up something that's way beyond their capacity and they push it up, and in the process the person dies. However, it's possible that even though the person passes out, they're still holding that weight, they're holding that object. Whereas at times, because the person's body inside, their insides tear, they actually drop the heavy thing. In one case, the person died in trying to lift up this very heavy object, and they don't even retain the object to be able to pass it on to their children. So too, in our scenario that we were speaking about earlier, about the person's connection or lack of connection to the tzaddik, Machmas shehamazel tzorech lasis loy koyach godol kedei lekabel mehatzadik hashpo. In the case of a person who's distant, who's totally disconnected and far, far from the tzaddik, because of the fact that that person's mazel has to exert itself in an extreme way in order to be able to receive from the tzaddik, machmas shurochik mimenu, because he's so far from the tzaddik, this could cause, you know, the many different variations, whether the person does receive or doesn't receive, whether they retain it in any way and they're able to pass it on to their children or not, or whether it only goes to their children and they don't live to enjoy it in any way whatsoever. Aval hamakorov la tzaddik, whereas a person who is close to the tzaddik, Azai ein hamazal tzorech lasis loykoyach, then in order for that person to receive from the tzaddik, there's no exertion. The person doesn't have to exert any extra effort. Machmashu korov etzloy, because the person is close to the tzaddik. Now, what does close to the tzaddik mean? In chapter 4 in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal gives a definition of the requirements in order to be close to a tzaddik. Step number one, he says, is to see the tzaddik, to go see the tzaddik, to go to the place of the tzaddik. As the pasuk says, V'hoyu einecho royois es morecho, your eyes should see your teacher. That's one way. And we know that the Beis Hamikdash, for example, the Holy Temple, is referred to as the eyes of Hashem. The pasuk says, V'hoyu einai v'libi shom. Hashem says, my eyes and my heart are there in the Beis Hamikdash. We know that when the Torah speaks about Eretz Yisrael, which is the source of Shefa for the world, it says, Tomid einai Hashem alekecha bo. The eyes of Hashem are always focused on Eretz Yisrael. And this is part of the significance in traveling to Eretz Yisrael, going to see the tzaddik, going to see Hashem, this concept. The second item Rabbeinu Zal speaks about over there is giving tzedakah to the tzaddik. That's another level of coming close to the tzaddik. And the third part over there was a person opening themselves up completely to the tzaddik, speaking very openly about their shortcomings, about what's going on in their life, really opening up completely to the tzaddik, and thereby facilitating a certain level of closeness where the tzaddik can prescribe for the person a custom-tailored way of that person succeeding in coming close to Hashem. For more detail, study chapter 4 in Likutei Moran, and there are other places in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal explains also and clarifies this concept of closeness to the tzaddik. Closeness to the tzaddik certainly means studying his path in Avodas Hashem and following his direction, following the direction of the tzaddik. That's referred to as closeness to the tzaddik. Avulim kol zeh. However, Rabbeinu Zal says now, with all of this, lifa'omim yochoy lihiyois, sha'odom yiskarev lahat tzaddik oemes, there could be a possibility of a person coming close to the Tzadik Emes, Vayideze Oyved Hashirus. And as a result of closeness to the Tzadik, the person loses wealth that he had previously. Why would such a thing happen? Rabbi Nezal says, Da, you should know, Ki ze machmas shehu roye dovor yokor gavoya moid. When the person comes close to the Tzadik, he sees something very precious and very holy, something on a very high level. V'afal pi de'iu loichozi, maz loichozi. And the Gemara tells us, even though the person doesn't necessarily see this physically, even though he doesn't see a bright, shining light on a physical level coming from the Tzaddik, but his soul recognizes and feels that there's something very holy, very special here, that I can be inspired in an incredible way and motivated to come close to Hashem through closeness to this Tzaddik. Umachmas shehamazel roye dovor yokor v'nalem oid. And because of the fact that the person's soul, the person's mazel, senses that there's something very big here, very holy, in the closeness to the Tzaddik, the person's soul rejects and throws away and lets go of the wealth that it was holding on to before, that was so significant, that was so important to the person up to that point. The person meets the Tzaddik and he sees there's something so much more important than wealth. When Dovra Melch describes the Torah, he says, Hanechmodim mizohav umipaz rav. The Torah is so much more desirable than tremendous amount of gold and paz. Paz is the wealthiest, the most expensive type of gold. The Torah is so much more than that. So when a person gets close to a true tzaddik, which is a living Sefer Torah, and his soul senses the holiness and the closeness to Hashem that can be gotten by closeness to the tzaddik, the soul, the person lets go of things that they were holding on to as being so precious up to then. This could be compared to a person who's holding a large sack of copper coins, and then suddenly they see a bag of gold and precious stones and diamonds. Azai mashlich hakoil, the person throws away that big bag of copper coins they were holding on to till then, v'choytef es hadvorim hayikorim, and they grab the things that are so much more expensive and more precious. K'moikein, so too, machmas sheniskarev, because of the fact that this person has come close to something that's so big, so incredible, the true tzaddik, Veroye yokor mipozu mipninim, and he sees something that's much more precious than gold or pearls. We know there's a pasuk in Mishlei where it speaks about the Torah, and it says yekorahi mipninim, that the Torah is more precious than pearls. And the Gemara says about that, that not only is it more precious than pearls, but the word pninim alludes to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol who on Yom Kippur used to go lifnai v'lifnim, to the inner sanctum of the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy of Holies. And there he was able to effect a forgiveness for the whole Jewish people. The Gemara says, yekorahi mipninim, that the true Talmud Chacham, the true Tzaddik, is more precious, can be more effective for the Jewish people than the Kohen Gadol who is able to go lifnai v'lifnim. Azai mashlich hamazel hu ashirus kilach hayad. So then the person's mazel, the person's soul, the person's guardian angel throws away the wealth. Who needs this? This is like toys compared to the preciousness of the closeness to the true tzaddik and the Torah that I'm going to hear from him and the closeness to Hashem that I'm going to achieve. Mikol shkein, how much more so? When the person themselves, not just their soul feels this, but when the person themselves feels shahiskarvus lahatzadik hu yokor mikol hashirus shaboilam, that the coming close to the tzaddik is more precious than all the wealth and the whole materialistic world, Azai bevadai einoi mashkiach al momoin. Then that person certainly doesn't pay any attention to materialistic wealth. Ve'einoi roitze klal ashirus. And the person has no desire for materialistic wealth, because the person becomes so totally absorbed with ruchnius, with spirituality, with closeness to Hashem, that the other things lose their meaningfulness, they lose their significance to the person completely. Now, if you recall, we had a short chapter on Likutei Moran not that long ago, where there Rabbi Nachman explained that it's impossible for a person to have both, to have chachma and to have wealth. Because the Gemara tells us, Haroitze lahachkim yadrim, that if a person wants chachma, if they want Torah, if they want ruchnius, they have to face south. And Haroitze lahashir, if a person wants wealth, yatzbin, they should face north. Now, north and south are in opposite directions. So logically, these two don't go together. However, Rabbeinu Zal said there, there is an exception to this. If a person has real humility, if a person considers themselves nothing, if I am nothing, nothing doesn't occupy any space. Nothing is not in the north or the south. Nothing is everywhere. Nothing can be in both at the same time. So Rabbeinu Zal said there, through true humility, a person can have both. And he gave us examples. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the Gemara says, the chief rabbi of Klal Yisrael, was very wealthy. He was zeichet to shtei shulchanos, to two tables, the Gemara calls it. The table of chachma and the table of wealth. So there is such a possibility. We need to know that when we learn a Torah like this, you have to put it in its context. You have to see what it says in the page before and the page after also. Not to say that here Rabbeinu Zal is paskening that anyone who comes close to the tzaddik has to lose their wealth. That's not true. He's telling us this is what happens sometimes. And in fact, there's another chapter in Likutei Moran that we learned where Rabbeinu Zal said he spoke about the Mezritcha Magid, who was one of the closest students of the Baal Shem Tov, the one who took over the mantle of leadership when the Baal Shem Tov passed away. And the Mezritcha Magid once saw a person who was very wealthy and a quality person, and he told his students, I want you to make every effort to try to be makariv him, to try to bring him close to us. And I want you to pray for this, to be mispalil, to succeed in bringing this person close to us. And sure enough, they did. They worked very, very hard at this, and they were successful, that this person became a close student and follower of the Mezritcha Magid. But shortly afterwards, his wealth started going down, decreasing, diminishing. And the Magid explained that this is because of the fact that he sees something so much more precious than wealth, and therefore he's not holding on to the wealth that much. However, we know that money and wealth is very significant. Rabbeinu Zal, in another chapter in Likutei Moran, in Torah Samach, writes that in order for that just like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, im ein kemach ein Torah, that if there's no parnasa, there's no Torah. Can't have one without the other. So too, Rabbeinu Zal says there, in order to achieve the highest levels of Torah, his bainanus ha-Torah, it requires incredible wealth. And Rav Nosson Zal shows in Mikutei Halachos that this is why before the Jews came to Har Sinai, on Har Sinai, the Jews achieved the 50th level. That was the 50th day of the Sfiras Omer. They counted 49 days, and Shavuos is the 50th day when we achieved such a level of closeness to Hashem, where Hashem spoke to every Jew face to face. We were prophet, we were Nevi'im, we were on such a high level. In order to prepare for that, we needed all the wealth of Egypt and all the additional wealth that we got at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea. Billions and billions of dollars worth of wealth, of the gold and silver, all the gold and silver of Egypt. We needed all of that to prepare us to be able to receive this Hizboinenus HaTorah. So therefore we say that nowadays, especially when tuitions are high, especially those people that live outside of Eretz Yisrael, and tefillin, and tzitzis, and mezuzahs, and sifrei Torah, for everything in Yiddishkeit requires money. And the Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Truma, I believe, says very clearly that a mitzvah that doesn't cost, a mitzvah that's free, doesn't have anywhere near the same value as when a person pays for a mitzvah. The money that a person spends to buy special foods for Shabbos and to have special clothing for Shabbos, and the money that a person spends to send their children to yeshiva and to buy kosher food, etc., all of these things raise the value of the mitzvah in an incredible way. So we certainly bless all of us. Hashem should help that we should be zeicha to come close to the true tzaddik, and we should realize the incredible, incredible value and how precious the closeness to the tzaddik is, but at the same time to be zeicha to humility, to have the proper humility, so that we could be zeicha to these shtei shulchanos, to be able to have the benefit, only the benefits of wealth, not the side effects, chas v'shalom. We know that the Torah discusses two types of wealth. There's mar benechos and mar bedaiga. There's a type of wealth that the more a person has, the more worries, the more tension, the more lack of peace of mind, chas v'shalom. That's one type of wealth. And there's another type of wealth, which the Torah defines as birkas Hashem hi tashir v'lo yosef otsev ima. There's a type of wealth that's a blessing of Hashem, which comes with no atzvus, zero depression, zero worry. It's pure, healthy blessing. We should be zeichet to that type of the Ashiris Digdusha, the holy wealth. Any questions, please? We continue. Torah Reish Mem Aleph, chapter 241. Rabbein Azal says, Kesheyesh dinim chas v'shalom, when there is heavenly judgment, Azai midas hadin hoya mechale es odom chas v'shalom. The judgment on the part of Hashem, the harshness coming from Hashem, could possibly destroy a person completely. Aval, however, you should know, hamidas hadin ein lo koyach lechalos legamri. The judgment of Hashem, the midas hadin, the spiritual judgment coming from Hashem via angels, via health problems, via parnasa problems, does not have the power to destroy a person completely. K'mayisham Rabbi Seinuzal, as the Gemara says, based on a pasuk, there's a pasuk, chitzai achalebom. Hashem says, when I get angry at the Jewish people, I'll use up all my arrows on them. I will finish all my arrows on them. So the Gemara says, look at the words carefully. Chitzai kolim. The arrows will be used up. Vehem einam kolim. But the them will remain. The Jewish people will remain. All of Hashem's arrows will be used up, but will still be there. We will never be destroyed completely. Aval ha'odam. Whereas a human adversary, a human opponent, yesh loy koyach lechalois legamri es chaveroi chas v'shalom, actually has the power to destroy another human being completely, chas v'shalom. V'alkein, and therefore, kisheyesh dinim al odom echot chas v'shalom, when there is heavenly judgment, heavenly harshness against an individual person, against Reuven, Ubo odom acher, and another person comes along, Shimon comes along, v'oimed v'choylek olav, and Shimon starts opposing Reuven, starts making problems for Reuven, battling against him, causing him pain and suffering, azai midas hadin mistalik mimenu. Then the heavenly judgment leaves the person. It walks away from the person. It removes itself. Why? Because they want Shimon to do the job. They want a human being to do the job. Because a human being has the power to destroy another human being completely. Chas v'shalom. Alkein, therefore, mi shehu tzaddik godol, a person who is a... Now, one moment, we pause here for a moment. In our versions of Likutei Moran, it doesn't have the following sentences that I'm going to say now. But there's an original manuscript of Likutei Moran that was discovered, where there it says that this is why we find by David HaMelech, when David HaMelech prayed to Hashem, he says, Nipla na biyad Hashem, let me fall into the hands of Hashem, ubiyad odom ale poilo. But I don't want to fall, Hashem, don't let me fall into the hands of any human being. There was once an occasion where David HaMelech counted the Jews, and this was a mistake. This was something wrong, because counting Jews brings judgment upon us, chas v'shalom. And at that point, Hashem said to David HaMelech, I'm going to give you one of three choices of how you're going to be punished for this. Choice number one was 7 years of famine. Choice number two was 3 months of being persecuted by enemies, having to run away from your enemies. Choice number three was a magefa, a plague, a heavenly plague that would last 3 days. And the response of David HaMelech was, let me fall into Hashem's hands. I don't want to fall into the hands of any human adversaries. So Rabbeinu Zal says, Al kein, therefore, mi shehu tzadik godol, a person, a high-level tzadik, umashgiach betikun ho'olam, who is looking for ways to rectify the world, to perfect the world, who choylek lefomim bekavono al tzadik echod, sometimes this tzadik will oppose a different tzaddik. He'll go against another tzaddik. Kedei lesalek me'olav midas hadin, in order to remove a heavenly judgment from that tzaddik. Again, let's talk an example. We have two tzaddikim, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is experiencing heavenly judgment against him. He's suffering in a certain way. Shimon sees this. Shimon, a tzaddik, a great tzaddik, sees this. And Shimon wants to help Reuven. How's he going to do it? By opposing Reuven, by making trouble and problems for Reuven. Because when he does that, he knows, ki yismechu alav shoyin kam yoyser, the heavenly opponent, the Satan, the Yetzahara, our heavenly adversary, when it sees a human being punishing the other person, he says, so I can leave, I can move on to a different project, because he'll do a better job than me. He can make Shimon can make Reuven suffer even more than I can. Ki yismechu alav, the Satan, the Yetzirah, will rely on Shimon, shehu yinkoim yoiser, that he will extract greater revenge from Reuven. Aval achar kach hu oise berachmim. However, if Shimon is really a tzaddik, as soon as that heavenly judgment removes itself, he will temper the suffering. He'll use kid gloves. He'll use his left hand, not his right hand. Ve'enoy oise yisurim lo'ise atzadik. He will not make any suffering for that tzaddik. So it's in a sense make-believe. He's playing the game in a sense. In order to remove the midas hadin, the tzaddik steps in as if, I'll kill him. And then the heavenly judgment removes itself, and then the tzaddik sweetens the judgment at a time. Question?
Is it possible to apply this lesson to the idea of judging ourselves so that Hashem doesn't judge us?
That's another type of thing. The Gemara says, Kisheyesh din lemato, ein din lemalo. This is a perfect example of this. The Gemara says that when a person, a Jew, commits a sin or many sins, and the prosecuting angel goes before the heavenly court to testify against the person, if that person already confessed their sin to Hashem, if that person already opened up their heart to Hashem and apologized, Hashem, I'm so sorry, I allowed myself to go against you, to do these terrible sins, then Hashem tells the prosecuting angel, hold it, I heard this already, goodbye. I'm aware of this, I know, the person himself told me about this. And this is one of the ways that a person can defend themselves and block any heavenly judgment from that prosecuting angel, from the Mekatreg, the Satan, the Yetzirah, definitely. In the past, we've mentioned an example of this also, in another variation, the story of Yosef HaTzadik and his brothers, where the Torah tells us that his brothers saw him coming and they had built up tremendous hate and jealousy against him. The Torah says, Vayikanu boyechov, Vayisnu oisoi, V'loyochlu dabroi l'sholem. They were jealous of him, they hated him, they couldn't talk, they couldn't have a pleasant conversation with him. And then when they saw him coming, they made a decision, they plotted to kill him. They said, let's kill him, and we'll say that wild animals tore him up. And they were planning on killing him with a sword, whatever it was. And then the Torah says, Vayishma Ruvain, Vayatzileu Miyodom. Ruvain heard about this, and he saved Yosef HaTzadik. Hatzalah, how did he save him? Why should we kill him with a sword? There's a pit of snakes and scorpions here. Let's just throw him in there. And so the Orach Chaim HaKodesh asks, that's called Hatzalah? We know that every word in the Torah is very precise. The Torah calls that Hatzalah, and he says, definitely yes. That Yosef HaTzadik was in better hands. He was safer with the snakes and scorpions than he was in the hands of his brothers. Because a snake or a scorpion cannot bite a person unless it's given a direct command from Hashem to do so. Whereas a human being has bechira, a human being has free choice, and a human being can harm another human being sometimes, even if it's not completely within the will of Hashem. It's not really what Hashem wants. Hashem allows, he lets the leash out to such an extent, he lets human beings have so much free choice to the point where a human being can do something to another human being harm, even though it wasn't really what Hashem wanted. Let's continue inside. Rabbein Azal gives us another example of this, Vezeh Pirush. With this we could understand in the story of Pinchas, where the Torah tells us that Bilam Harosha, made several attempts to curse the Jews and thereby harm them, and he couldn't succeed. And then Balak told him, get out of here, get lost, before I decide to kill you. And Bilam said, I have one parting piece of advice to give you about the Jewish people. The Hashem of the Jews hates adultery. He hates sins with women. So if you're willing to use your women to entice the Jews to commit sins, to have relations with non-Jewish women, that's how you'll be able to bring about the complete downfall and destruction of the Jewish people. And sure enough, the kings, the princes of Midian, sent their own daughters out, Cosby Basur, to try to seduce and entice the Jewish men. She succeeded. She thought she trapped Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was really Zimri, the head of the Shevet Shimon, who was sucked into this and actually went ahead and committed a sin with this non-Jewish woman. And the Torah says that Pinchas saw this, and he took a spear and he killed both of them. He killed Zimri and this non-Jewish woman, and thereby he saved the Jewish people. Vezeh Pirush, Pinchas ben Elozar ben Aaron HaKoyen, Heshiv es Chamosi. The Torah says that Pinchas turned away the anger of Hashem from the Jewish people. Hashem's cannon, which was aimed at the Jewish people, Pinchas turned it away, the anger of Hashem. Bekanoi eskenosi besoicham. When Pinchas took up, he assumed the mantle of vengeance. Veloichilisi es bnei Yisrael. And because of that, I did not destroy the Jewish people completely. That's the simple translation of the words there. Rabbein Azal explains, Shepinchos heishiv es chamas Hashem. Pinchas turned away the anger of Hashem, this gun that was pointed at the Jewish people, the Silek Midas Hadin mi Yisrael. He removed the heavenly judgment, the heavenly punishment from the Jewish people, Al Yedei Shehu Lovash Nekoma Limkoin Bohem. By Pinchas putting on this mantle of vengeance, that I'm going to avenge the honor of Hashem. We don't need no angels to be involved here. I'll do it myself. Alkein nistalku hadinim. And because of this, the heavenly judgment moved away. Veze machmas ki hadinim einam yecholim lechalos. And the reason for this is, again, as we said before, when the judgment is divine judgment, when it's being done via the heavenly angel, he cannot destroy the person completely. Therefore, these heavenly angels of judgment, these negative angels, the Satan, the Sitra Achra, they prefer a human opponent, that a human should avenge the anger of Hashem. This is what's meant when the Pasuk says, V'loichilisies b'nei Yisrael b'kenasi, and I did not destroy the Jews with my vengeance. Hainu, Shebozeh moidia lanu hatoira goidel hatoiva shevachse Pinchas liYisrael. In this statement, the Torah is enlightening us regarding the tremendous gift that Pinchas gave the Jewish people. Bekanoi eskenosi isborach. When Pinchas avenged the honor of Hashem, velovash nekama linkoim bohem, and he cloaked himself in this vengeance to avenge the honor of Hashem. Shebozeh oso lehem toive gedoyla. Through this, he did a major favor to the Jewish people in stopping that plague. There was a heavenly plague that had started. Vatam, the reason is, ki v'loi chilisi es b'nei Yisrael b'kinosi. I do not destroy the Jewish people completely with my vengeance. Hainu, shebekinosi b'midas hadin sheli. This is Hashem talking, that when I avenge my honor myself, Eini mechales b'nei Yisrael, I do not destroy the Jewish people completely. Ki midas hadin ein bo koyach lechalos, because the midas hadin of Hashem cannot go that far. Aval ha'odam, whereas a human being, kishenoikem, when he avenges, yesh lo koyach lechalos legamri chas v'shalom, he actually has the ability to destroy completely. Alkein also Pinchas toivan eflo liYisrael. Therefore, Pinchas did a tremendous favor to the Jewish people. B'mashel lovash kino linkoim bohem, when he put on that mantle of anger and vengeance against the Jewish people. K'alidezeh rofso miYisrael koyach adinim, because by doing this, he weakened, he lessened the anger of Hashem, the heavenly midas hadin from the Jewish people, b'choshvam, when they thought, those heavenly angels thought, shepinchas yinkoim ben b'yoser, that Pinchas will do a better job than them. He'll really avenge. Ki Pinchas hu odom sheyesh loy koyach linkoim yoser lechaz legamri chashon. Because Pinchas, being a human being, has the power to take, to go further, more extreme in the vengeance, to destroy them completely. V'alkein, and therefore, al yedei zeh, heishiv Pinchas es chamosi. Therefore, through this, Pinchas turned away the anger of Hashem, the silek midas hadin, he removed the midas hadin, he caused it to leave. Aval be'emes, Pinchas bevadai hoyo rachamon. However, in truth, Pinchas was an incredible tzaddik, and he certainly had rachmonis. Under that exterior of anger and vengeance, there was love and kindness underneath. Ubevadai achakach hekal adina me'aleihem. And therefore, he certainly lessened the fire and lessened the judgment against the Jewish people. Now, here again, in the original manuscript of Likutei Moran, it has a line that we don't have in our Likutei Morans, where it says that Pinchas converted the word chamosi from the word chamosi, which means my anger, he made it into mochisi. Mochisi, there's a mochisi means to erase. There's a pasuk, mochisi pishecho, keonon pishecho. I erase your sins. Pishecho means your spiteful sins, like a cloud that moves aside. At one point, the cloud is blocking the light of the sun, a dark cloud, and Hashem says, I erase the clouds, I remove the clouds. So here again, Pinchas, through his actions, was able to convert the chamosi, the anger of Hashem, to mochisi, to a sweetening of the judgment, to a hamtoka sadin. Baruch Hashem. Any questions?
It seems like the tzaddik is able to take the full minas hadin into thinking that he's going to...
Correct. Good question. Question is being asked, does this mean that a tzaddik has the ability to fool, to trick the midas hadin? these angels are so foolish, they're so simple-minded? The answer is we find another example of this in the halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, where the halacha, the Ashkenazic Jews have a custom that throughout the month of Elul, we blow shofar every morning, starting from the second day of Rosh Chodesh Elul through to, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow the shofar, and we're told that this is to confuse the Satan, because the Satan is preparing, he's preparing for Rosh Hashanah, and every day he hears the shofar, we're getting closer and closer, and then suddenly the shofar stops, and the wording that's used is Kedei La'arveves HaSatan. So it seems there is such a concept. What this means, I'm sure it's not as simple as it sounds when we're saying it, but it seems that there is such a concept of that by following the direction of the Torah, and the great tzaddikim know how to be able to do this, how to be able to fool, to trick the Midas Adin in a sense, and be able to alleviate major suffering from the Jewish people. There's a story in the Zohar HaKadosh where one of the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was supposed to pass away. And he pleaded with his Rebbe to be able to get it. And it says that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gave a whole shiur that when the Malach HaMavis is given permission to take a person from the world, he wants to complete his mission. He wants that person. And if something is done somehow to evade that, to avoid that, he has to be given a replacement. And in some cases, he's not given one replacement. He could be given 10 replacements, 10 people that have to pass away in order for that person to be able to continue to live. There's a whole discussion in the Zohar HaKadosh, the story about it. There are such concepts. Just like Lahavdil, the Gemara says, Malchusa da'ara ken Malchusa da'rekia, that the heavenly kingdom, the heavenly courts, in some ways parallel the earthly courts. We know that in earthly courts, there's a concept of an appeal, there's a concept of protectia, there's the laws, and there's the party, you know, and there are different ways to get around it in certain cases. And here again, we're shown that when it comes to heaven also, there is such a concept. Any questions?
Is there a direct connection between the Hamtakas Adin that Pinchas brought and the immediate follow-up in the next pasuk of the Midianim being having a din against them to be destroyed?
Question was, is there a connection between having the Midas Adin removed from Klal Yisrael and then it being passed on to somebody else, as we find over there in the story of Pinchas, that right after that story, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go avenge my honor by the Midyanim. It's possible. It's quite possible. We continue. The next chapter, Torah Reish Mem Beis, chapter 242. Rabbeinu Zal says, Da, you should know, Sheyesh bechinas orich anpin baklipa, that there is an aspect of orich anpin in the forces of evil, in tuma, in impurity. We know there's a very famous statement, I believe it's in Koheles, where it says, Ze l'umas ze oseh l'kim, Hashem created this parallel to that. And the Sforim tell us that this refers to holiness and unholiness, that there's a parallel between them, that they mimic each other in a certain way. The Tumah, the forces of Tumah, the negative forces, in some ways parallel the forces of holiness. And that's part of what makes life interesting, that sometimes they look very similar, and a person has to be able to figure out which is good and which is bad, which is right and which is wrong, because of the fact that they parallel each other in this manner. So here Rabbeinu Zal is telling us an incredible chiddush, which the Sifrei Kabbalah speak about, that we know that there's levels, high levels in Kiddusha, in holiness. There's what's called Zer Anpin, and there's Orech Anpin. Zer Anpin is a term that's used to refer to the lower aspects of the holiness of Hashem, the lower midos of Hashem, chesed, gevura, tiferes, through malchus, are referred to sometimes as ze'er anpin, small faces. And then there's something that's called orech anpin. Orech anpin means long faces, which is the term attributed to Keser, the crown of Hashem, or Chochma and Bina, the highest levels of holiness. So Rabbein Azal tells us, just as in Kiddusha, there's a concept of Orech Anpin, which is a very high level, so too Lahavdil, in Klipa, in Tuma, there's something called Orech Anpin of Klipa. Umi shepoigeya beisha mibchina zu, and if a person encounters a woman, we're talking here about a sinful woman, a woman of ill repute, that type of woman, that's an aspect of Orech Anpin of Klipa, kosheloi lehinotzel mihirhur. It's extremely difficult for the person to be saved from having sinful thoughts, improper thoughts about that woman. Va'af im yatzimeinov, even if the person will close their eyes, afal pikein b'chol tzad sheyifne tizdamenloi, wherever the person turns, they'll encounter it, meaning that this is a very powerful force of tuma. It's interesting to note that in the Gemara, there's a story like this. The Gemara tells a story of one of the great rabbis, Rabbi Masya ben Chorosh. And the Gemara says he was an incredible tzaddik, and at one point the Satan decided to test him, to really test him. And the Satan appeared in front of him in the form of the most extraordinary, beautiful woman, something really exceptional. And Rabbi Masya ben Chorosh was studying Torah at the time. He looked up, he saw this, so he turned to the side. He turned away from it. He turned away, the woman was there. He turned to the other side, she's there. He turned behind him, she's there. This was again an incredible battle of the Satan, the Yetzirah, against this tzaddik. He saw, he realized what was going on. The Gemara says he walked over to the fireplace. He took a poker, a hot poker, that was used to stir the coals in the fire. And this hot poker was white, burning hot. This metal was burning hot. He took it, he turned it towards his eyes, and he poked out both of his eyes, and he said, game over, I win. The Gemara says there was an incredible explosion in heaven, in Shamayim. Who did this? Who caused this tzaddik to destroy his eyesight? This pure tzaddik who didn't do it? And the Satan had to come forward and say, it was me. And Hashem said, either you restore his eyesight, otherwise you have a big problem. And the Gemara says that the Satan went down to Rabbi Masya ben Chorosh and pleaded with him to accept his eyesight back. His response was, no thanks, no thank you, not interested. I see what the potential is, no thanks, not interested. And the Satan had to plead with him until he was promised that he would never be tested again in this area, and only then did he allow his eyesight to be restored. It would seem that this is something like such a situation of a power of klipa that's so power that the person is surrounded on all sides and chas v'sham, like drowning in it, that kind of thing. Kihi bechinas orech anpin shel haklipa, because this is the orech anpin of klipa shehim ponim aruchim, which means long faces. It's not one face, it's multiple faces. V'alkin b'chol tzad sheyifne tizdamen loy. And therefore, wherever the person turns, he's going to see that. It's in a sense a concept of no escape. However, Rabbein Azal says there is an escape. There is a solution for this. V'da, you should know, shetzdoka hu segula gedoyla u'moyeles ma'oid lehinotzel mehirhurei niyuf. You should know that charity is a supernatural remedy, in a sense, that can help a person tremendously and save the person from having these types of sinful, lustful thoughts. However, even if the person will excel in the mitzvah of charity, osur lismoich al zeh, the person is not allowed to rely on this, v'lihiyos me'urav im hanoshim, and mingle with ladies, with women, spend excessive time with women, talking to them and engaging them, look, ulaharboy sicho imam chasashon, and think that they have a license to talk, to engage in lengthy conversation or unnecessary conversation with women. Rak she'enoy mazik loy kol kach. Rabbein Azal says, all we're saying is that if a person is strong in the mitzvah of tzedakah, that will serve as a protection that the person will not be the person will not be harmed as much. The person will not be vulnerable as a person who doesn't have this protection of its tzedakah. V'sehu, this is what's alluded to in the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, where the Mishnah says, "V'yihyu aniyim b'nei beisecha," that the poor should be members of your household, meaning you should always invite guests. Always make sure to have guests, which is, again, an outstanding form of charity. Or, again, when you're hiring workers even, make sure to try to give the job, if you have the choice, to give the job to a person who has parnasa or a person who's really poor, give the job to the person who's poorer, who needs it more desperately, which is also a charitable type of act. So, v'yu aniyim b'nei beisecha, v'al tarbe sichoim ho'isha. However, even if you're doing such high forms of charity, do not speak excessively with women. Hainu, she'af she'ato oise tzedaka, even though you're very charitable, va'aniyim heim b'nei beisecha, and the poor people are mamish members of your household, still, afal pikein al tarbe, be careful, be extremely careful, avoid speaking a lot to women. The Gemara there says it doesn't say women, it says ha'isha, which means even to a person's own wife, a person should use caution in sometimes to know whether I should say something or I shouldn't say something. Not to speak freely and think anything goes when he's speaking even to his own wife. Rabbeinu Zalei is here now, aval ein ha'isu rak shalayarbe. However, the prohibition is, it says, al tarbe sicha misha, don't speak excessively. Avo mashehu muchrach, but if a person limits their speech to women to what's necessary, what's really necessary, ein mazik loy, it will not harm him, v'ze nas al yidei tzedakah. That'll be accomplished through the tzedakah that the person gives, the charity, shehi matzeles mehirhurim shel niyuf, which saves a person from sinful thoughts, lustful thoughts, shehim bechinas avi avois hatuma, which are referred to in Sifrei Kabbalah as one of the highest, worst forms of impurity. Bechinas meis, it's compared to the type of impurity that comes from a corpse, which is called avi avois hatuma. Utzdoko matzeles mehem. Tzdoko, charity, saves a person from these types of sinful thoughts, which are compared to mace. It's compared to the tumah of a corpse. Bibchinas, as the pasuk says, utzdoko tatzil mimoves. Charity saves from death. From death and from things that are compared to a dead body. These types of sinful thoughts. And Rabbeinu Zal finishes with a prayer, Hashem yatzilenu, may Hashem protect us and save us from this type of attack. It's important to note that recently, with today's society, with women going out to work more than in previous times, religious women going out to work more than in previous generations, in religious magazines, Mishpacha, other places like that, where they wrote very detailed articles explaining how there are rabbis now writing Sforim to try to educate the men and the women who find themselves meeting in a work environment and to recognize the danger, the extreme danger that's involved when men and women are in close proximity, and to know that this is one of the critical pieces, that when people engage in free conversation, hi, how are you, how this, and when people are on a first-name basis, I read many details, many, many pieces of advice that are given by the Torah, by tzaddikim, by rabbis, to help avoid the pitfalls. There are many, many cases today in our times of religious men and women falling and making major mistakes, chas v'shalom, and it ended up ending up causing divorces and worse, rachmona litzlan, because people did not recognize the importance of the advice of the Torah, this al tarbe sichem hoisha, how extremely important it is for a person to be careful to avoid any unnecessary, any excessive conversation with women. We know that when it comes to earning a livelihood, one of the major mitzvahs is maaser, tithing one's earnings, tzedakah. And here again, one of the kavanas that a person can have in the tzedakah that they give, in being strict about observing this mitzvah of maaser, that it should be a shmirah, it should protect me from any and all versions of mavis, of death, of impurity, of things that could harm me or my family physically and or spiritually. Any questions before we close?
Why is Niyaf compared to Misa?
The question being asked, how is Rabbeinu Zal comparing these type of sinful thoughts to death? The Gemara makes a statement. The Gemara says, Koshe hirhure avera me avera. That when it comes to sinful thoughts related to women, the Gemara says that the thoughts in some ways are worse than the actual sin, the actual physical sin. Because the sin, when it's committed within a few moments and it's done, it's over. Whereas these types of thoughts preoccupy a person's brain and they can lead to zera levatola, to wasting seed, to all kinds of terrible, terrible things. Regarding this particular area is where the Torah uses this term, hirhuri avera is worse than the avera itself in certain ways. And again, there's a lot written in Sifrei Kabbalah explaining the damage, the incredible damage that's done by thoughts in this area. Wishing everybody a good week. Yeshuas, we're in the month of Kislev, we're gearing up for the next week in which we'll celebrate the holiday of Hanukkah. I'm hoping that next Sunday, even though in Eretz Yisrael, it's already going to be Hanukkah, it's going to be the evening of Hanukkah. I hope that we will have the shiur next week. We'll see if we go a full hour or not, we'll see based on how things go. And then I hope to be coming to the United States, Amitz Hashem, on Wednesday morning of Hanukkah. My son that lives in the United States is going to be joining the Siyum Hashas that's taking place then. And I hope to be there in the United States for about 10 days. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, I hope we'll continue our Sunday Shir. And maybe we'll get to see some of you that are there also, Im Yirtzeh Hashem. All the best.
Thank you for the chizuk, Rob.
Thank you, Rabbi Maimon.
Sure. All the best.